I lost a grand and a half last week. Took my money from my bank and it's getting more bleak. Trying to give you winning bets all the time. Trying to get these people on the settle it vibe. But then the guys, Cardiff to lose. Didn't realize that they had so much to lose. When Cardiff were in that isolation holiday. Couldn't stop getting ill from COVID all the day. They couldn't clear their chests, clear their minds, clear their breathers. Trying to find better times with a broken receiver. But I got times that they won't wanna need ya. If they wanna fight back, now they need a leader. And then they go to Carter Town. Started to get teachers and the students coming down. They only had about 4 rugby players who could make it. So they just had to beg people to kid up and fake it. And then here come the rude ones. Enter Matt, Max, and Meda, led by Mr. Dupont. There's no chance we're gonna beat Toulouse today. So I start to pay the money out before the final play. And guess what? Like dominoes, I burn my dough. But Lonnie don't strike twice with the CEO. So download, settle it, and get ready to go. I win my cash right now, and I'll let you fucking know. So that's right, download, settle it, and later in the show, Archie will give out some incredible odds once more to try and tempt you in to do some wonderful betting. He lost big money this week, but hopefully he can regain it again now. We'll see you all later on. Download, settle it now.
More lies, more lies, more lies, more lies.
A bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the final episode of the RigBiz podcast. Just as Christmas edges ever closer, I am joined by one of the most wonderfully festive men I've ever met.
Once in Royal David City, Jesus born amongst the fans.
Did you never learn the words?
No, but I do love Once in Royal David City.
Yeah, you've got a beautiful voice.
At Christmas time, Christmas Eve, I have a tradition where I turn off all the lights in my house and I have that song and I hold a candle and I just walk through the house with a candle, just replicating what chapel was like at school.
Oh my God, it's bloody lovely.
Good. You can come around if you want.
No,
you right?
I'm okay. Okay. I'm okay.
It's really good fun. It's really nice. Sets the scene. And it's great.
Well, talking about setting the scene, have we heard anything more from Mr. Alistair?
I've got some pretty good news.
Go on.
There's probably a reason
why. You've
got
good news?
Yeah, why I'm in such good mood. I am spending Christmas with Alistair.
Confirmed.
Obviously, it's dubious times at the moment.
Yes.
And Alistair isn't wanting to spend Christmas in the UK. In fact, on Christmas Day at about 4 o'clock, him, my brother, my stepsister and their families are all going to South of France and they didn't realise that I was free. I'm going round for the day and they've asked me to keep a 6 meter distance and to keep a mask on.
At all times?
Yeah, because they've got tests, which I'm going to respect, and I'm not probably going to be able to eat with them. I'll have to eat outside. But
doesn't sound like a great
Christmas
day.
It'd be great.
So are you heading up Christmas Eve or?
No, Christmas Day. I'll be there bright and early.
You're driving up
Christmas
morning.
Yeah. And then I'll be back in the evening in Clapham.
By yourself?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there'll be other people around. There's a couple of Saffers I know who play rugby for Clapham Falcons. I'll see if they're about and probably just get on it.
Okay.
I'll probably do a fast again for like 48 hours just because it's great to keep in shape at this time because I have been taking on a lot of calories.
So not the most exciting Christmas, but better than last year's.
I am really excited. I can't wait, Freddie. It'd just be great just to be there with my dad, Alistair, and Hector, and Samantha and their children. And yeah, it's going to be great. I haven't actually got all my Christmas presents ready, but I am, just chuffed a bit.
Do you know what you're going to buy your dad?
I think he's quite tricky to pick for him. Alistair's got
everything. Would you get a man who has everything? Yeah.
Yeah, he really does have everything. I normally just give him cash and an envelope and just say, just get what you want.
Isn't that what like a grandpa normally does to us instead of a child?
No. He really respects it. But I'm really looking forward to just catching up with him. And I haven't seen him for so long and just take him through my year and it'd be brilliant. I'm sure it'd be fascinating to know how well Instagram's going for me.
Well, that's going to be quite the celebration. Talking about festive celebrations, have you had your Christmas party?
We had our Christmas party just before Plan B by Boris was set in motion, and my God, it was a loosey-goosey night.
Yeah, go on, tell us what happened.
I can't really remember much. I remember I stole my CEO away for a quick 45 minutes and I just took him through my year quarter by quarter and just showed him some of my LinkedIn LinkedIn stats, which I think he really appreciated. And then, yeah, I do remember a load of people coming up to me quite late doors, just saying like, "Stop drinking, stop!" And I was like, "No, I'm gonna make a lash." And then next thing I know, I'm outside the Ned. It's like 3 a.m. in the morning. I'm playing touch rugby with a couple of younger guys in my office with a shoe. And I was actually pretty decent. It was a hell of an evening and a bloody good lash. But then off that, disappointment is, you know, a lot of my clients are cancelling lunches. And so silly season is a bit stagnated. But yeah, I mean, personally, I'm not worried about it. I don't think I will ever get Omnicom.
Why not?
I don't think most people in Clapham will generally get Omnicom.
That's a ridiculous thing to
say. No, mate, hear me out. I think just we are all in great nick. And also, there's a shed load of South Africans that live here. So we've probably got herd immunity.
Live from Clapham with the CEO himself. This is Clapham News.
This is Clapham News on December the 16th. Clapham adopt Plan B from Sunday to Wednesday, but will be adopting Plan A from Thursday to Saturday. From next Monday, all pubs in the Clapham area will be offering buy a pint, get two booster jabs for free. And in business news, AC Limited founder Archie Cousin has announced he'll be releasing a range of gloves to play rugby called Pure Chat. And in sports, Clapham Falcons bounce back from their first defeat of the season to record a win over Streatham Steelers. And captain of Clapham Falcons and one of the best looking blokes I know, Archie Cousin, was quoted saying, "It wasn't about the way I played, but in a way it was. I had my gloves back. So the magic is always there when I've got the gloves." And finally, Moorlash Brewery Christmas Carol was a sellout in the Old Town Tavern, and with people loving the tunes, but loving more the Moorlash.
So, Archie, you're bringing on the final guest of the year.
Yeah.
And he's a man you've actually met in person. This isn't someone you've begged over Instagram to come on.
I actually met him a couple of weeks ago. I was out with a few clients having lunch, and he was a few tables away from me, and I just approached him in the right business manner and slipped in my business card and said, "Look, let's get this chat on the road." So I think there's only one thing to say.
What's
just
that?
Onside chat.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, welcome to the chat zone.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here. Thanks,
mate,
for having me.
Thanks for coming on. You're our final guest of this season. What an
no
honor.
No way.
Yeah.
What a terrible finish.
No, fantastic one. Captain of Northampton. It's the way we want to finish it.
Oh, brilliant.
If it was Dylan Hartley, that would be bad news.
That would be shocking.
Yeah, of course.
I'm loving the lid at the moment, Lewis. Looks fantastic.
Thank you. Wild and keeping it relaxed.
I'm actually considering growing my lid out again, having a look at Lewis. That is a great lid.
Well, I think
Permanent, you'll be there, I reckon.
Yeah, I could do it. I could pull it off. I had it last year. I think I'm going to bring it back.
Oh, you're saying we could be matching. I'll grow my stash out. You get a perm.
That actually like seems reasonable. There'd be a bit of synergy between the Clapham Falcons and Northampton Saints.
Like Mario and Luigi.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be at the end of the season, me and you could go out as Mario and Luigi and just smash up Inferno. It'd be great. We just have to ask Rory Hutchinson to stay away, because otherwise we'd get no birds.
Who rocks the tash better, George Furbank or Archie Curzon?
I have to say Archie, I reckon.
Yeah. Both very similar guys. You know, we can both play a number of positions across the back line and, you know, both got that je ne sais quoi.
Well, you got a similar lid, similar tash. Very similar, apart from he's a professional rugby player and you're a nobody.
I actually have snogged a few girls in Infernos because they thought I was George Furbank.
Really?
And I didn't say anything to it.
Lewis, firstly, are you a fan of the podcast? Have you listened before?
Yeah, I've listened before. I gave it a quick listen. Yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy Archie's content on Instagram a lot. So
Who doesn't? I'm Instagram's hottest property.
Well, arguably.
Which podcast have you listened to previously?
I listened to Lazowski's one.
Yeah. Oh, Skeezy. Great guy.
Yeah, the boy.
Well, as we said to Skeezy, you know, he's welcome. Since he started listening to the podcast himself, doing well in Saracens, playing for England. Same with you. You know, you've listened to the pod. Now you're sort of Northampton Saints captain. You're, you know, fighting to get back in that England team. You've also sort of led your team to the best start in the Premiership in many a year. How's it going for Northampton this season?
Yeah, I mean, it's been good. Up until Friday, the French came over and gave us a bit of a hiding. But, no, it's a role I've enjoyed. I was very much someone who was in my own head a lot of the time. So having to focus on the team a little bit more, I think it's helped me sort of relax into my game a bit as well.
Yeah, and funny enough, you know, this meeting came about is because I was actually taking some clients out in London the other week, and Lewis was out having lunch.
Really?
Yeah, and I just walked across the restaurant, you know, gave him a handshake, said, let's make this happen. And he couldn't say no because I was there in the flesh.
It was like the Wolf of Wall Street approached me. I literally sold me the dream. I couldn't say no.
I gave him a business card and said, let's make the Rig Biz happen. He said, do I have to? I said, yes. And he said, okay, fine.
Well, Lewis, a quick word on that defeat to Racing Metro on the weekend. They're a great team, but no one saw it being that one-sided, especially in the incredible form you've been in, personally and the team. Where do things go wrong for you? And also, for a man with quite a wobbly chassis as Finn Russell, how impressed were you by his flair?
Yeah, he was unbelievable. I don't think we expected that result either, to be honest. I thought we'd run him close, but we never really got a chance to put our game on them, really. They're a very good side, and I think you got to beat your best to beat them, and we were nowhere near. So, Finn Russ is absolutely unbelievable, pulling the strings. Just the way he spots space so quickly is quite impressive, really. He's hard to defend. So, it's a tough one to swallow, but luckily we've got a chance to go over there at a great stadium and give him another crack.
Ludders, what kind of captain are you in those moments? You know, it's all good when it's going well. You know, for instance, in Q3, my office were producing fantastic numbers, and you know, I had to say very little. You know, Q4's been a bit rocky, and there have been some deals that have gone awry. You know, what do you say to the boys after that kind of result?
You sort of said coming on Monday with solutions and ideas, and we got to pick ourselves up pretty quickly because we're going to Ulster this weekend, who's another great side to go to as well. So. It's very, very much wipe it, bin it, and get the lessons from it and go again.
Well, Rory Hutchinson's going to be very jealous that you're on the podcast because he's been begging to come on for the last 2.5 years.
No, well, he wanted George Furbank to hold his hand. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He was a bit scared. Talking about being scared, Archie's terrified of your old captain, Dylan Hartley.
Not.
Well, you are.
Well, no.
He's a man who's got red carded more than anyone else in professional rugby. Is he the dirtiest player you've ever played alongside?
Dills is, I think, a misunderstood character a lot of time. He's a hothead, yeah, don't get me wrong. I remember on my first, or was it my second season here, actually Rory Hutchinson, we did a pub crawl on like a big road in Northampton called Welly Road, and we're walking past just like greengrocers, and Rory's grabbed the turnip and like seen one of the other teams that are obviously splitting teams, like trying to make it through the pub crawl quicker than anyone. He's got his turnip and like lobbed it across four lanes of traffic at the other team, and it's just like swirled, like everything's gone in slow motion, and it's just hit Dylan Hartley Swede right on the head, and he stormed across four lanes of traffic, like cars stopping, and just twatted Rory straight away in our first year. So I think that's probably one of my like first run-ins with Dylan, but straight away after that, he was just like, listen lads, like go enjoy yourselves, like get us a bit of cash on the door. So I look up to Ben a bit, but I know he's got a bad rap, but in terms of leadership, there's no one better, really.
Ludders, how much contact do you have with him now? Because obviously he was a long-time captain of Northampton. Do you speak to him about that kind of stuff or not really?
Not really. Right at the start of the captaincy, I had a quick chat with him about it all, and he just sort of said, you've got to find your own way of doing it, really. And Dills is a busy man these days, and I never really got a massive opportunity to play with him consistently. I think probably played 4 or 5 times with Dills. So it was sort of different eras, really. But his advice to me was just sort of find your own way and enjoy it, and don't try and sort of be anyone else in the role.
Maybe you could be the mediator between me and him. I mean, if you do get a chance to speak to him around Christmas time, just tell him, you know, I can help him with his fashion. That is what's laying down his media career. I don't know if
you're not a fan of the hats.
I'm not a fan of all of it. It's whoever's selling those clothes, they're not going to be getting good sales this Christmas.
But ultimately, you know, we are looking for someone else to sign up to the sleeping app now. Owen Farrell's gone a bit busy, so
yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah. So maybe we could use Dylan Hartley. Yeah.
Yeah, Dylan Hartley's bedtime stories.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
I appreciate that.
You know, you've told us that he's quite a grumpy boy off the pitch. He can get a bit aggressive. But what's he like in training? Apparently, he's been involved in some training ground spats. I mean, he just loses his shit suddenly. What, you know, is he the worst in that, or have you seen worse contenders for, you know, the worst training ground spat you've witnessed?
No, there was a few my first few years at Saints. It was just like different environment to be in. It's pretty old fashioned, brutal with the likes of Dorian West coaching. Things got heated quite often in training, especially in like the forwards unit splits. So Dylan was involved in it a bit, but nowhere near as much as a few others, really.
And Ludders, do you think that is kind of the beauty of your, I guess, your career so far, that you've had a bit of the old school then mixed in with the new school? Is, you know, that's giving you a good sort of standing? Because I guess as rugby progresses, you know, if I was playing now, I'd be wrapped up in cotton wool because they know, you know, they'd roll me out on Saturday and I'd be just tearing it up. But, you know, I have been part of the old school. You know, I had to train hard and not just on the pitch, but in the city. And now it's a lot more, you know, about your mental health and everything like that. But, you know, that's why I think I've been so successful. But do you think that is like what has made you the player you are now, to have that period where you were probably trained by Dorian West and being witness to Dylan Hartley, who smells like sausage rolls?
Yeah, I think actually going through that period of not playing and being on that binge juice group, and obviously having that sort of tough love growing up through the academy was massive for me. And I probably did a lot of learning when I went and learned to Rotherham as well, which is pretty much as old school as it gets. Wow. down at the Cabbage Patch. So being there in Coventry Rugby Club as well, I've been quite fortunate. I've had that, been to those gritty environments, which I think has boded well for the rest of my career, really.
Does Eddie, you know, stay in contact with you? Have you had a bit of contact with him recently? Weird text messages.
Yeah,
apparently
yeah.
He sends some weird texts. What's the weirdest one you've got from him?
Probably in the midst of lockdown, he told me and Genji to start boxing on our days off together when the lockdown was lifted, which was a pretty weird one. I think that came in about 3 or 4 in the morning, which was pretty strange. Not sure what he was up to, but Eddie's class, man. He's class. I know he's got a bad rep at times, but he gets the best out of people. He knows what works for people, and for me, he's been awesome. Really, that continuous improvement. He's always striving to be better, and I think that rubs off on people as well.
Well, talking about weird, I mean, there have been some recent articles about his training camps, him being a bit crazy on the pitch, off the pitch. What are the weirdest counters you witnessed when in an England training camp? You come in from the Saints, you're pretty knackered, you want to, you know, hammer down and game in your room, and then suddenly Eddie Jones is on a mad one. What's the weirdest thing you've seen him sort of do or say?
Oh, God, there's a few moments in camp. I think one of the highlights for me was like my first encounter of Eddie was like, he knows how people tick. So someone like Paul Hill at a club, we were on like a Saxons camp. He can't put an arm around Paul. He don't react to it. So we were doing like a catching drill, me and him. And the drill was, Eddie would fizz this soapy ball at you and you've got to catch it like right on the post. So like you put yourself under heaps of pressure. And I've like, it's my first count with him. And I've like, I dropped the first one. Second one slid through me, hit me square in the face. And like, done like 3 or 4, dropped all of them. And he just says, listen, mate, relax, mate. Just relax your hands, mate. Enjoy it, mate. You're here for a reason, mate. Like, keep enjoying it. We're here to get better. Paul Hill steps up, does his first one, and he's like almost caught it, close enough I've ever got. And it's just slipped through his hands again. And he's going, Hilly, what the fuck you doing, mate? Hilly, you like scrumming? Well, if you like scrumming, you're going to be doing a lot of it if you catch like that, mate. So for him to like be to me, relax, and for him to like get a kick up the arse was like a highlight. I was like, yeah, okay, he knows how people tick, you know?
Well, Archie, you know, Club and Falcons had their first loss of the season last week. Is it time you took some of these training skills, get a soapy ball involved in training?
I do use soap in another way. But yeah, potentially. I mean, I didn't have my gloves last week. That's why we lost. But I had my gloves back this week and things happened.
You know,
that's the thing. I don't know if you use gloves. Ladders, but I highly recommend.
No, not normally. No,
I'm bringing a line out next year.
Okay,
just called Pure Chat.
You went to the wonderful public school St Joseph's College up in Ipswich on a sports scholarship. But how different and hard was it to adapt coming from Kesgrave High School? Because I can imagine those slightly different worlds.
Night and day, really. So before, I felt like the Fresh Prince going there, like young kid from state school, like not really knowing what private school was like. Told my friends I was going to private school to play rugby, and they thought I was playing American football, didn't have a clue what it was. So going there was weird, but like fitting real quick, like everyone was sweet to me, really. It was just a bit of a shock to the system at first when there were still teachers using like blackboards and dressed in gowns and stuff, which I thought was weird. I had to call everyone sir as well, which was
That happens in my office. Yeah.
Well, that can't be legal in this day and age.
Yeah. Everyone, the juniors call me sir or captain.
Yeah, I bet. But yeah, it was weird because I went from school that didn't play rugby at all, didn't know what rugby was, training like 3 or 4 times a week at St. Joe's. So your rugby just goes from there to there, it just accelerates. So St. Joe's was unbelievable for me.
How did you get involved in rugby?
So I grew up boxing and playing football. No one in my family played rugby, but I was like clattering lads on a football pitch on a Saturday, and my dad was like, this ain't for you, like we need to try something different. When they won the World Cup 2003, my dad was like, oh, we'll give this rugby stuff a crack, and then just went down there and went down the local rugby club and loved it, really. Commercial
break. I got some banter, but it takes some time. I gotta meet the girls running around mine. Plan B's ruined silly season, fine. But I can prove my chat all the time. So I order Mullash Brewery. Coming back now to save my chat, surely. Sitting down under Christmas tree lights. Trying to find ways to engage my banter right. And then I rip open the present under the tree. A case of Mullash is just for me. And with just one little sip, you'll see. My banter's been improved on scientifically. Hey. So guys, go to the Mullash Brew website now and order for all those who need to improve their chat, friends, family, and foes. Just go to mullashbrewery.com and you can get next day delivery. You're welcome.
Well, Lewis, as you're always, you know, down in London with Hutcho, he loves Clapham, loves hanging out with Ben Duckett and all those kind of cricket boys. Do you ever come down to Clapham? Have you ever enjoyed its, you know, its wonderful jewels?
Nah, I actually haven't. I've never been to Clapham. Oh. Put my hand up. I'm sorry, lads. I know.
Wait, are you single?
I am, yeah. I am.
Mate, I'm telling you now, I'm looking you square in the eye. When the world opens up and there is no COVID in 2033, you get yourself down to Clapham, you play England rugby, you're captain Northampton Saints, you're a great Nick. You will dominate Infernos. You won't need to buy a drink.
I'll be there.
Well, Lewis, although always a one-team man, you played on loan at some very interesting places, as you were saying earlier. Moseley in Birmingham, Coventry and Rotherham. Of those three, which one have had the most brutal initiation? Because they seem to be old-school clubs.
Coventry was weird. It wasn't really an initiation. But our first away trip, we went on the bus down to Cornish Pirates, actually. And I just got stuffed full of, like, port and cheese on the way back, to the point where I was like, lads, like, I'm done. Like, I don't need any more. And they just kept pouring port and stuffing cheese down me, which was a long old bus trip. In terms of initiation alone, it's actually been pretty good. Apart from that, which was memorable.
And what about the Northampton Saints one?
It used to be like cider hands. Done that, basically strapped two big, I think like 3 liter or whatever it is, bottles of cider to your hands. And you basically sit in the shower getting abused by first teamers for hours until you finish them.
That
and then
sounds
you can get
brilliant.
To like a normal human being again.
Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds very character building. I might bring that into the new guy starting my office in January.
Yeah, COVID's put a bit of a hold on that for now. So those new academy lads don't really know what's going to hit them when things open back up properly.
Well, Lewis, in 2019, you were sort of plucked out of obscurity to come and make your debut against Wales. What are your memories of that incredible day?
Oh, yeah, it's weird. It feels, because I think that it all came about so fast, really. So I went into like Saxons camp and wasn't really expecting to like go on camp or being involved with England at all, really. So I went on holiday, was on a night out, basically, and got a call from my agent saying, let me check your emails, and was invited into camp next week. And then from there, it was just like, the next thing. And before I knew it, I was out of Twickenham playing against Wales, which is a whirlwind, really. So that whole span of like 3-4 months around the World Cup stuff was just a blur. It doesn't really feel like it, like it still happened. And I regret that a little bit, not taking it all in a little bit more. But yeah, it just seems to have flown by, really.
And Ludders, is it quite similar? Like, I was meant to go on a stag a few years ago, and then I couldn't make it due to business, and I was taken off the WhatsApp group, and there, you know, I just felt a bit left out, and that led me to be a bit bitter. But I'm not saying you'd be bitter, but is it a weird thing that you're on an England WhatsApp group, then it goes? Do you keep in contact with the guys from England, or do you have to wait till you're back in and they add you to the group?
It's just like that, actually. Just like that. It's weird. It's weird because a lot of the, especially like a lot of the guys I'm competing with are like some of my closest friends on camp. So like, Sam Underhill, who we've played age group with for under 17s, under 18s, and Tom Cario I get on well with, and the likes of Dommers as well. So like knowing you're competing with them and they're the ones also keeping you out of the team is sort of a weird relationship to have. But no, I think it's all healthy. I've switched my mindset a lot from, like I say, not thinking about selection too much and just making sure when I go in that I'm making the most of the opportunity, because it's world-class coaching, world-class facilities, and I come out a better player, and that mindset seemed to have helped and helped me play some of my best rugby at the moment. So, yeah.
I'd love to get on that WhatsApp group.
Well, there's no chance.
Just
there,
Matt, I've got so much material to send up. Who, would, honestly,
who actually manages actually it? Who manages it? Who's the one who actually brutally removes you?
Well, the England team manager on it, Charlotte. She's Charlotte. Yeah, so it's actually pretty tame on there. Sheesh. Mostly.
Charlotte, yeah. If you're listening, babe, add me. It'd make my Christmas.
Yeah, your number's in the bio of the pod.
I've got some great gifts.
Subsequently, after your debut, you travel to Japan 2019 and play in the World Cup 4 matches. Forgetting what happened on the field, because obviously it was an incredible World Cup for you and also the rest of the squad, sadly losing out just in that final. But who was the best value off it? You're out in Japan, an incredible country. Did you have some good nights where you could cut loose? And who were you surprised was great value in that team?
We didn't... Like, when we were there, like, everyone was sort of focused on, like, games. We didn't have a really much of an opportunity to drink out there, so... we had one night in the karaoke when the France game got cancelled, which was good crack, with a few of the younger lads with a few drinks. And last night out was pretty hectic. Dickie was unbelievable. Unbelievable drinker, unbelievable tourist. So,
and when you were sat in that changing room after the World Cup final, what did Eddie Jones come up and say to you?
They just basically said, you've got to make a choice now whether you're going to be that guy who comes into camp and plays 6-7 times, or you're going to be the guy who steps up and plays for England 20-30 times, and that's down to your prep and how much work you're willing to put in. So that was his and the coach's question to me. It's just up to me to continue to try and answer it.
Ludders, have you definitely got bigger? Is that one of the things? Yeah. Because I noticed we were quite similar sizes when we met. I'm a bit shorter.
What, he's got bigger in a week?
No, but since the World Cup, you've definitely put on some muscle. Have you been dirty bulking?
Yeah, a little bit of dirty bulk. A little bit of Five Guys after training doesn't go amiss, does it?
So, well, maybe it's good enough for thin muscle.
Actually, I've noticed on your Instagram, phenomenal chef. You do like to cook up a good feed at your house.
Yeah, I love cooking. I love cooking as well. I've got so much time to do stuff, so eating is take up a lot of my time as well, so you better be good at cooking, I suppose.
Because obviously I see a lot of the Northampton boys have, a few of them do woodwork, and then some have other business sides. Do you have like a side hustle?
No, not really.
Not yet.
You're underselling yourself, Lewis. You're an artist.
I did a bit of that. I sold a couple of pieces, but I don't know. I need to do more of it, to be honest. I need to do more of it, but like I end up painting for hours and then not getting anything else done, not cooking properly or eating properly afterwards. So,
well, because Archie's looking to redo his study, aren't you? So,
well, yeah, I mean, I'm looking for someone to do a portrait of me, just exactly. My face by a 6x6 foot.
Yeah, you need a commission for the study. I
can definitely talk to you. Or, Ludders, if you want to go into Biltong, it's a fantastic market to get in now. You know, a lot of people say Bitcoin, but Biltong, my God, it is booming. I mean, it took a bit of a hit after lockdown. You get it now. It could be big.
Yeah,
I'll speak to you off camera. I'll speak to you off camera about it. How long have you got left at Northampton? How long have you got on your contract?
Another 2 years.
Yeah, nice. Yeah,
what were you thinking about coming in to help renegotiate?
Well, yeah, I could come and renegotiate that. Or
you're doing that with Lazowski at the moment.
Yeah, Lazowski, he's not staying at Saracens. That's all I can say off camera.
Talks have fallen through.
talks to Paul and Freeze. He's moving around.
He should probably never put his trust in you to be his agent.
Well, no. I think France looks good for him and his girlfriend, and they said they're going to get me a room, so it sounds great.
Lewis, you know, obviously you've had a wonderful career so far. You've done incredibly well. But am I right in saying 12 months before the World Cup, when you burst onto the England scene and had such a great time out there, you were thinking about quitting rugby altogether and going to work in finance, a la Archie Curzon?
I was, yeah. Finance was the only option I sort of had available to me. I think I was at Saints for like 4 or 5 years, played like a handful of times, less than 10 times, and just felt like I loved it, really. Yeah, probably going out a little bit too much because I wasn't playing. So yeah, got to a point where I was like, maybe this is about time where we sort of knock it on the head. And then change of coaches, and I talked to my mum about it. She was just like, just give it like one more year, see what happens. And then it just sort of took off.
Lewis started following me on Instagram at the same time.
Late 2018, wasn't it? Yeah.
And then he rocketed an England team. Yeah. And that's when I followed him back.
That's true, actually, yeah. It's catalyst.
Lewis, I'm going to say is, I don't know how much you follow the Rugby's podcast, but last year, Kersey came on. They were struggling. Then they started to pick up. We sent them a motivational song. They played that in the semi-final. They went to the final. We then made them another motivational song and they won the final. So all you got to do as captain, if you want it, we can deliver it.
I'd like it, yeah.
We have had mixed results of late. We did one for Ben Stokes and Stuart Broad for the Ashes. They got nailed in the first test. Yeah, Broad didn't play. We did one for Richard Madeley. He left the jungle after 12 hours.
No, but,
oh, sorry.
No, they're different. Don't talk about those.
Okay, sorry.
It's a selling point.
Yeah, no, rugby,
we'll
rugby
put one
well.
Together. We'll
put one together. George Furbank,
no chat.
Yeah.
Tom Wood,
no chat.
Dylan Hartley,
chat.
Carl Sinclair,
chat.
Tom Curry,
No chat at all. Yeah.
He won't come in the pod. Won't come in the pod.
Yeah, no chat.
Ben Youngs?
He's got chat.
George Ford?
Chat. I say chat. Boy's got chat.
What?
What is going on at the moment?
No chat.
Skeezy comes on here and says that as well.
I think Ford's released a press release.
Yeah.
And then finally, Mauro Itoje.
He's got chat. Big man's got chat.
Letters, just to finish off, obviously, we've gone through all those players that we asked you how chat or no chat. Which player... they don't have to be on that list. They can be in the Northampton team. Would you like us to send a case of more lash to improve their banter?
You're going to have to send it to Paul Hill.
Paul Hill. Does follow me on Instagram, actually. So that won't be hard. I will send it to Northampton Training Facility and you can give it as a gift as a Christmas present. You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
have a good Christmas and happy new
Thanks
beer.
Thanks for having me on. Cheers, lads. Bye.
What a well-rounded, lovely, incredibly impressive man.
What a nice guy. What a way to finish a season.
The perfect balance between emotion, laughter.
What a boy. Really, really enjoyed him. What a nice guy. It's just nice to see that Northampton have got a captain that people like.
And finally, after all these years. And also Roy Hutchinson, that man must have gone up in your estimations after throwing a vegetable at Dylan Hartley and getting knocked out by him.
Let's hope maybe next season he'll come on and distribute a bit of banter. Wanna see you in the clubhouse. Wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna hear your most embarrassing stories you've told it.
So Archie, this brings...
Nino, 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 Nino.
What's that? You've been rushed to hospital with Omicron.
No. The banter police are on their way and they're ready to arrest someone if the chat's not good this week on Clubhouse Stories.
Well, they're also ready to arrest Clubhouse Stories.
I'd probably be chief of the banter police.
Well, I'm not so sure about
and
that.
And I tell you what, if I had my way, I'd put a few people this season who have written in behind bars.
Well, yeah, for a lifetime.
Their banter has been illegal.
It's been absolutely shocking. But Archie,
I really hope they don't come to Clapham and spread that.
I've got some questions.
Because that's probably more contagious than Omnicom.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. But
Trust me, mate. It is.
Okay, I'll trust you. Well,
Chopsy, for instance, a guy I used to be very good friends with.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone he's friends with now, I know, has no banter. And I'm pretty sure some of them had pretty decent chat before they met him.
That's a sad thing to see.
Thank God I got immunity from that.
Well, I've got some sad news, something you don't have immunity to. I think this may be our last ever Clubhouse Stories.
Mate, we will see, mate. I am the captain of the ship.
Okay.
And it depends.
Okay.
It bloody depends, mate.
Well,
but yeah, the standard has been low. The standard has been low.
Well,
you've got to question what kind of people are listening to this podcast.
No, I agree with you.
Do you think after so many years of listening to A grade, C.H.A.T. chat,
yeah,
you know, it would have improved?
They'd have a slightly more sort of sparkly vessel of banter.
It's a different graph to coronavirus. You know, it gradually goes up. Whereas people listening to this podcast over the years, it seems to have gradually gone down. It's worrying.
It is worrying. Anyway, this one comes from Joe Blackburn.
Oh, the old Blackbird.
Yeah. And he says...
Morning, Mr. Blackbird. No, that's Mr. Magpie, sorry.
He says to a very dear Mr. Archie Curzon, I hope...
I like that. Yeah.
I hope this finds you well.
Mr. Archie Curzon, soon to be Sir. Fingers crossed in the new year.
I hope this finds you well and that your Q4 is progressing very nicely as we move through silly season.
It is. Thank you so much for asking me, Mr. Blackbird.
My name is Joe Blackburn, but please call me Blackie.
I think Blackbird's much more fun, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's a bit more fun, yeah. The Clubhouse story begins at my mate Boris's house.
Oh.
Boge, for short. We had just finished Ruggers training and had been made to do fitness after a tough loss at the weekend.
Yeah, well, that's a standard thing in rugby.
Is it?
That's the way it goes, Freddie.
You know,
in semi-professional rugby especially, you have a hard loss, you're back the next week and we're training
back
hard.
Back out Monday to do fitness.
Yeah.
Same thing in the city, or is that ridiculous?
Yeah, massively. That or you get sacked.
Okay.
Which is actually really sad. I know one guy who had a phenomenal 2020 and then came into 21 and it just things weren't fitting into place. And yeah, they had to let him go.
That is terribly sad. Well, anyway. I had
four kids.
Oh, God. Yeah. Were you the one who fired him?
No, I wasn't the one, but I did suggest it, yeah.
Okay. Well, we decided to go...
Four kids, and they're all going to private school.
Okay, well, not anymore.
And now I think he is still looking for a job.
Oh, God, that is terrible. Well...
No, it's not all bad. He had very wealthy parents, and I think they covered the cost of education.
Oh, okay, so they're still school. Yeah. Okay. Well,
and actually, I think... I'll have to check this. Write that down.
Okay.
But I'll check tomorrow and update in the next season. But I think... His mother died, and I think she was the one with the money in the family.
Right,
and he inherited quite a lot.
So that he's already got.
And I think he's invested that quite wisely into a Bitcoin. I think he's done quite well.
So a happy story ultimately.
Yes, yeah. But he will never work in the city again. So that is quite sad.
Okay. Well, anyway,
you can have all the money in the world, Freddie.
Yeah.
But if you're not in the city, what's the point? If you can't show your Rolex watch, or tell them, you know, about a superb meeting you had, or you know, a deal you've just brokered, you know, there's no point.
What's the point in living?
Anyway, you're just talking to yourself in the mirror.
We decided to go,
which can be a possibility in these times where, you know, we've been asked to work from home.
Well,
which is a little bit of advice I say to people. You know, if you are struggling, what I do sometimes, I work in front of a mirror. And then I just have, you know, really good little bits of chat with myself to G myself up.
Right, okay. Well, Joe says...
let's get on with the story.
Yeah,
come on.
We decided to go back to his house and get lashed purely on Guinness.
Most rugby guys like a Guinness. No, I certainly do like a few to start the proceedings.
Yeah, not to mention...
Oh, I love a nice crispy Guinness, especially at Autumn International. Twickenham, I've said it before, does the best Guinness in the
you
world.
You have said that before.
They're not at Twickenham, are they?
No, they're not.
So one advice to you, Mr. Blackbird, is, you know, if you get a chance, go try the Guinness. It is phenomenal.
Nearly
as good as the avocado and Megan's.
Not to mention it was his Tuesday.
Oh,
it was supposed.
Oh, these guys are. That's crazy to get lashed on a Tuesday.
It was supposed to be a moderately quiet early week lash, but little did I know.
Yeah. Well, what happened? What happened?
One of my so-called mates decided it would be exceptional banter if he put a piece of dried dog poo into my Guinness.
Oh, that's actually really funny. Did he know about it?
Without me realizing.
Oh no. You wouldn't be able to see it because it's dark coloured.
Yeah.
Like a puddle. I sometimes go running on Clapham Common, and on a number of occasions, I've run through a puddle and I've got dog poo on my shoe. Nightmare.
All of a sudden.
But I wouldn't drink a puddle because
Guinness
is lovely.
All of a sudden, the lads.
Not with a dog poo in it, though.
All of a sudden, the lads started screaming, chop, 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 chop.
Yeah.
Reluctantly, I chopped along with the rest of the boys, only to finish the drink, look up, and see that they're all smiling in a satanic fashion.
Oh my God. His mates sound like they've got exactly the same sense of humor as me.
I know, they really do.
When the joke's shocking on someone else, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone shouted, "You've just drank dog food," or so I thought. My reply was, "Fuck it," and saw the rest of the pint off, only to once again look up, but this time to be met with completely horrified faces. It turned out it was not dog food, but dog poo. I turned to my mate with a look of pure disgust, only to be met with the word, "Mate, it's just good banter."
Oh, it is actually. That's quite good banter from his mates. And they're obviously like, yeah, they're all laughing because he's just drunk dog pee.
Well, I personally think poo's not good banter. I think it's stinky banter, and he's an absolute shit bloke. I haven't seen him since. Cheers, Blackie.
I don't know what to say, because you know, it's not a bad story, but he's obviously one of the shitter lads of that group, and that's why they picked on him.
Yeah.
So what I think is, like, his mates have actually got really good chat, but he probably hasn't, and that's why they made him drink the dog pee.
So what are you going to give that out of chat?
Look, it's the end of the season. I'm in a good mood. I'm going to see my dad at Christmas. I'll give it 7 out of chat. For him and his mates, that's chat out of chat.
Ring the bell.
Oh, happy Christmas.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to put your money where your mouth is as we listen to Archie Curtis' tips of the week before taking him on Unsettle It. Download the app now.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for our little select section where we look forward to this weekend's rugby fixtures and Archie tries to put forward what he thinks the outcome of the results will. Before we get onto those, Archie, you lost a lot of money on the weekend.
Yeah, but that's the nature of the betting market. You know, you win some, you lose some.
But what were you thinking? Cardiff without 41 players using semi-pro guys. They call up semi-pros.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't get the call.
Mate, I wish I had. But, you know, that's why I thought they'd do it, because actually a lot of people underestimate semi-professional rugby players, because they've got the heart of a lion.
Well, they end up getting destroyed and you lost about $3,500.
No, well, you won't get a good amount of quality around Cardiff in a semi-professional manner. Like, if you're around Clapham, you'd probably put a decent team together and they probably would have done the job.
Yeah, yeah. Well, against Toulouse, the reigning champions. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's try.
I'd relish that opportunity.
Well, let's try and win that money.
Found my gloves, mate. Who knows what would happen?
Well, let's try and win that money bet for you. So this Friday, kicking off the European rugby weekend, round two, we've got Montpellier at home to Leinster.
Going to go with Montpellier. It's probably a nicer place to holiday.
Right, okay. Even Leinster are an incredible team.
I don't care. I love going to the south of France. It's beautiful.
Okay. Then Ulster versus Northampton Saints.
Well, we just had the captain of Northampton Saints. I'm not going to go against him. I'm just going to say, yeah, Northampton.
Then we have on Saturday, kicking off procedures, Bath at home to La Rochelle.
I hate to say this because, you know, Bender's played for Bath.
Yes,
it's
he
a
did.
Team, you know, I know JJ down there. Anthony Watson started refollowing me on Instagram. But my God, they are shit. And I can't see them winning at least for another 4 or 5 months. So I'm going to go for La Rochelle.
Okay. And then Sale at home to Clermont Auvergne.
Well, we heard earlier that Tom Curry's got pretty dismal banter. So I'm just going to go with Clermont, because also Bender's played for them. And, you know, they're a team very close to my heart.
Then Glasgow Warriors at home to Exeter Chiefs.
Yeah, well,
you got friends on both sides.
Yeah, that's difficult. But, you know, Rhino is probably one of my top five mates.
Yeah, he is.
And he's captain of Glasgow Warriors. So I'm going to go Glasgow on that. And that's where big odds this weekend.
Okay.
I'm giving people 7-1 odds for Exeter to beat Glasgow.
Wow. Okay. That's incredible. Exeter, you know, 2 European finals in the last couple of years, European champions as well. So that's a pretty decent
odds. I don't
odds.
Care, Freddie. I know my ruggers.
You know, you really don't care. And then at home, we've got Racing 92 versus the Ospreys.
I'm going to go with Racing 92, because I think if I was to go and play for a team in France, that would suit me the best. They've got, you know, the fireworks,
lots
the media.
Cash.
Yeah, yeah. That's me all over. And who knows? Finn Russell will move on at some point and they'll be looking for someone else who's got that media presence
and the same nickname.
Yes. He copied my nickname.
And then we have Harlequins versus Cardiff.
Gonna have to go with Quins, just because, you know, I love Kersey, I love Smithy, and Don Brandt has told me he will come on next season for some chat.
Wow, that's incredible news. And then finishing off Saturday evening at 8 o'clock, we have Munster versus Castres.
Again, gonna say cash, just because I think it'd be a fun place to holiday.
Right. Okay. So no information at all, no intel. Just
no, no. Just going based on my hunch.
Okay. And then on Sunday, the final four games, we have Leicester Tigers at home to Connacht.
Leicester, of course.
Scarlets versus Bordeaux Beglers.
Bordeaux Beglers, of course.
Yeah. And then Toulouse versus Wasps. Two old European heavyweights.
Yeah, but you know, Wasps, their squad's diminished. I know Barbs has been back and he's been on the score sheet, but nah, I'm sorry, Toulouse. lose are going to win that.
And then to round off the weekend in the Heineken Champions Cup, we have Stade Français at home to Bristol. That's a tasty one.
Look, everyone knows this season, me and Dave Atwood have become very, very close.
Very
good. You know, we're talking on Facebook. We're on a number of WhatsApp groups. One group was just me and him. And so I'm going to go with Bristol because I really think they can turn it around.
Okay, well, guys, if you want to take out those odds, all you have to do is add Archie's number, which is in the bio of this box.
I love
download Satellite, and then get 7-1 on Exeter to beat Glasgow.
I think you're crazy. We gave my number to everyone this season. It's been brilliant. And I just love the fact everyone calls me. Whatever hour they're up, don't worry about me. It's brilliant.
Well,
so
especially
thank
now
you
they're
so
working
much.
From home.
Yeah, yeah. Well. Yeah, a lot of video calls. It's brilliant. Really enjoy it.
Well, Archie, I'm going to utter those sad
Christmas
words because for the final time,
mistletoe and wine, I'll be with my dad this time, drinking the champers, eating inside, being with my family, it's Christmas.
Well, you won't really
time.
Be with your family, you'll be outside while they
yeah,
eat in the
I'll
dining
still
room.
Be with my family. I'm just such in a Christmas mood.
Yeah, yeah, you really are.
I haven't had my booster jab yet, but what I have had is a boost for Christmas.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I just can't wait, Freddie. It's been emotional. What a year. I've absolutely loved it. Just been delivering chat after chat after chat.
Well, Archie, you know, we've been through a lot. When we started the series, it was the end of the summer. There was no COVID threat in the air, really. And now we're back in these dark times. But you're off home for Christmas. We provided them with a lot of entertainment. And we'll be back soon
will be back sooner than people realise.
Yeah.
And yeah. I guess I just want to say, guys, you know, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for listening to us every week.
Yeah, yeah.
We massively appreciate it. Please don't forget to subscribe, comment, and like the bloody podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, what's the point?
What is the point? Let's see some good comments for Christmas time. Share this Christmas love. Also, please, you'll obviously be looking for last-minute presents, as we all are. So go into moreashbrewery.com, go into Rhett's Club, get some good Cap and Falcons merch,
phenomenal Christmas gift.
Just improve the chat of your friends and family and all those around you.
And a big, big thank you to all our guests this season. We've had some unbelievable guests. Stokesy, Brody, Simon Thomas, Hamish Watson, Skeezy.
Hugo Hammond.
Yeah. And Hugo Hammond, who bloody loved dropping chat last week, didn't he?
Yeah,
he absolutely loved dropping the old chat.
Well,
I've never seen someone drop so much chat.
Archie, as you're not getting...
I think he might be dropping on the floor and losing it.
Archie, as you're not getting up to your father's to Christmas morning, a week's time is Christmas Eve. Any chance we can do one little treat for the listeners?
Let's just bloody see how silly season goes. But you know what? The way I'm feeling, it could be quite possible we might throw in a little extra bonus episode. And I've got some fucking good guests to get on.
Okay. Well, Archie, hopefully I'll see you next week. If not,
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And a happy new beer.
So you tell me that I'm a lucky man. And you're so right. Yes, you're so right. I'd be right now holding hands with my baby. So I'm gonna love you until the sun comes up. Be that extra sugar you need.